The thing I'm having is I just bought a stupid wireless mouse.
But can I do that with Wi-Fi?
Now my screensaver doesn't work.
And that's the solution I'm looking for.
Yep, that would be it.
Something that they call drive-by download.
Okay, stop there.
Try to boot into something called safe mode. Take my advice and go get this free program that is out of this world.
Eliminate those and see if the problem still persists.
Oh, that's a great idea. Okay, I didn't think about that.
Does your computer bite?
There's nothing that comes in the computer that's of any value.
Has your hard drive gone floppy?
The head whack is the thing that makes you kind of go,
don't! It's time to call the Computer Corner.
We're not your daddy's computer radio show.
Is this thing on?
On News Talk 92.3. KTAR.
Welcome to another edition, another episode, another whatever. Welcome to the Computer Corner.
Hello.
You guys seem so far away. So we're in a new building, and
a beautiful building.
I think yes. We're one of the first shows to sort of go on live in the new building, and there's all kinds of people running around making sure that this all comes off and goes out on the air and works. So. You guys are going to help us test drive the new studios here at KTAR and help us make sure everything works. You're going to be our guinea pigs, help us work out the kinks, and we're going to invite you to do that. We got lots of ways you can participate in the show. But the best way, the most common way, the way that you can get involved the quickest, the fastest, the easiest, and help make the show what it is to give us a call, 602-277-5827. It's 277-KTAR. That's the easiest way.
That's one of the easier ways.
Yeah. Right. You can also join us online at datadoctors.com/radio. Or if the whole slash thing confuses you, it's just datadoctors.com. Click where it says radio show. You'll end up at the same place. And there you'll see links, information, ways to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, find the podcast on iTunes, give us feedback, which comes to us here in the studio. All kinds of things you can do to participate there. And so... datadoctors.com/radio, that's sort of our radio home online, if you will. And we've also got a topic, as we do each and every week. We try to bring something to the show to sort of steer us down a path, something we think that
sometimes that works, sometimes it doesn't, depending on...
You know what, this week I bet you it's going to make a lot of sense for a lot of people, and the topic today is really something that around this time of year becomes a big question: to repair, to replace, to upgrade. What makes sense, right? You've got something old, technology-wise, whether it's a TV, it's a computer, it's a phone, whatever it is. And you always got to make that decision. Sometimes you're replacing because you want something new, and that's fine. Sometimes you're replacing because you think what you have isn't worth fixing.
Or sometimes you're replacing because it's broken.
Yeah, or a shiny new feature.
Yeah.
Or whatever it is. And so if it's because the thing is broken, if it's because this thing seems worn out, if it's because your computer's running slower than it used to, a lot of people are surprised to find out that replacement sometimes makes a lot of sense, but a lot of times it doesn't, because you're lured with this low-cost-seeming PC out there that's advertised. And by the time you buy it and by the time you configure it the way you want to use it, for the things that you want to be able to do, that thing costs two or three times whatever the original sticker price was.
Not to mention the time involved in, you know, transferring the data, installing new programs, you
right.
know, making it look and feel like it did before.
There's a lot of steps involved to get from that initial purchase to it being usable by you. And so you have to factor all those things in. And today's show is really about making sure you understand what those steps are and helping you make that ultimate decision when it comes time to repair, replace, or upgrade. And in fact, if you're thinking you've got something a little bit older, technology-wise, and you're trying to make that decision, you can give us a call here. We'll ask you a couple of questions about what you got. If you can give us some basics, and we don't need, a lot of people will call and say, well, I have a Gateway model XYZ. You know what? That actually doesn't do us a whole lot of good. It's...
Yeah, we could Google it, but, you know, just a brief overview of the system.
Yeah, I got the thing a couple of years ago, right? That helps. 2 years ago, 5 years ago, a year ago, 6 months ago, some general time frame. And we don't need to know all the technical details under the hood. But what's most important is what's wrong with it? What's prompting you to say, is it time? And if it's just you're ready to buy something new because, you know, most of us drive cars for a few years and then buy a new one. Not because it's worn out, not because it's time, it's because you want something new. Then that's one discussion, that's one thing, and we can help you create justification if that's what you're looking for to go out and make that new purchase. That's cool. But if it's, well, this thing is just running slow, or I'm getting these weird errors, or it keeps, quote unquote, crashing on me, that's the stuff that's really going to help us understand what's going on and then help you make a determination of, well, here's probably what you're looking at to go and fix things. And, you know, starting new, what have you seen? What is it you're looking and considering? Because you've already probably started down that path, and let us help you steer in that direction as well. So,
exactly.
Of course, if you've got questions, issues, consternation about other stuff, that's fine too. 602-277-5827. That number will work for those things as well. And yeah, we're gonna kind of take your calls and see if we can help you out. And then you're gonna help us out, because the ultimate to upgrade or to replace, we're actually living in that ultimate debate today. And it's kind of ironic that that's the topic today, because one of the big reasons for the move here to new studios is KTAR likes to be on the cutting edge, likes to have the latest technology and really be able to provide people listening the best of what's out there. And they like to be able to provide the people that work here and do this job
a few creature comforts.
Right.
As well.
So the old building, I think, gosh, KTAR had been there for going more than 20 years, maybe plus or minus. And I may be off a little bit on that, but I know at least 17, 18 years and probably over 20. And as you can imagine, technology's changed a lot in that time, and a lot's been done to try to keep pace. But it was coming time to do some major renovating, if you will. And when they stacked the costs of trying to fix that up, and really with an operation that's 24/7, that's always on the air, trying to do that versus start new in a new place where you can build it all and then flip the switch and roll over. And as you can imagine, that's I think I made it sound pretty easy. I'm sure it's not an easy job, and there's 10 guys out here that I can see through the glass that
are feverishly working.
They're making that a reality. Right. So it's sort of this weird skeleton crew of technicians and engineers and people trying to get everything plugged in and ready for when the real action starts, which is Monday morning, when all the craziness happens and all the news and all the shows and all the stuff happens. And so
you were telling me earlier, Brandon, what time did they flip that switch?
I think
today?
I heard that approximately 1:15 a.m. plus or minus a few minutes they flipped over. And if you had been listening to KTAR early this morning, and it could be the FM or the AM, because both stations moved overnight, you might have heard a minute and a half or so of quote unquote off the air downtime. It's pretty amazing when you think about it, an operation like this, that's the downtime they had. And they were prepared for more, but obviously hoping for the best. The number I had heard what they were hoping for on the minimal side was 3 minutes, and they cut that in half.
That's truly amazing. That's a feat in and of itself.
So anyway, with your help today, we're going to get through this show. We're going to help educate you, give you a little bit of information, education about repair, upgrade, replace, or whatever it is your question's about. We got one line, 602-277-5827. When we come back from the short break, we're going to take your calls, your questions. It is the Computer Corner. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Computer Corner. A new day, a new building, same Computer Corner. We're still here to help you. We're still here to work with you on your problems, your things going on in your life, and I think these mics need windscreens. What do you think, Pete? You hear my peas popping, or is it not bad? Not bad. All right. We'll work through this stuff.
You're not popping too bad. I mean, you're popping, but
yeah,
your peas aren't popping.
I just won't use words that have pee in them, so I'll avoid that. How's that?
So for the remainder of the show, we'll exclude all words that start or have P. The letter P.
That letter. We won't even say that letter. Say
P.
No, you can't do it.
Yeah, okay.
It's going to be hard to avoid that. You think we can do it the whole show?
Consciously, no. I don't think we could.
We'll get there.
Okay. I'll Google a list of words that do not have the letter.
Okay. we got a line open, by the way, 602-277-5827. We want to make sure they all work, so it's possible that one's not working. Who knows? And we're going to see.
You never know.
We're going to see if I... Oops. Oh, I have to keep my mouse wiggled. All right. We're going to see if we can actually take calls. So if this works,
here we go.
Congratulations to us. First up on the Computer Corner, it's Bernie. Bernie, welcome to the Computer Corner.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. First-time caller. Enjoy your program many times. Need to give you a little background on me. I'm 63 years old, pretty much a retired accountant, and started out with a quill pen and parchment. I've since upgraded to a ballpoint pen and 5-millimeter pencils. I swore since I survived 63 years without a computer, I plan on surviving the next 63 unless they come up with one where I talk to it, don't have to program it, and it does what I want. Recently, I've seen a commercial for Dragon.com, which apparently does exactly what I've been talking about. How good is this product?
So you're talking about voice dictation.
Yes.
And Dragon is probably one of the better pieces of software out there to do that, although there's things built into Windows today that sort of attempt to. If you really want to try to live that reality, the Dragon software is probably the way to go. Now, they're going to advertise on their site all kinds of different percentages of how accurate it is.
Mm-hmm.
And some places will say it's accurate. I've seen as low as about 80% and some as high as in the mid-90s, 92, 93% accurate. And that sounds pretty good, 80% accurate. Let's just start with that number.
Mm-hmm.
So out of every 100 words, 20 are wrong. Out of every 10 words, 2 are wrong. That doesn't sound so great when you put that reality into place. And so what
that
happens
could get
is
pretty frustrating.
There's a couple of different things here. First, you've got to start with this software, and you've got to spend a decent amount of time training it because it needs to learn how Bernie talks, not just, you know, sort of English,
mm-hmm.
because Bernie speaks a little bit differently than Clay does and speaks differently than I do, right? So that's the first part, and that's probably the most critical. If you're willing to get a decent microphone, and the one built into your computer is generally not going to be sufficient for something like this. You want to get a decent microphone. You want to get it positioned properly. You want to get in a quiet room. And you want to spend the time it takes to go through all of the training to teach this thing how you speak. You can get that accuracy up substantially. So once you've done that, then it's a matter of, well, you want to send an email. You have to open up your email application. So you still have got to use the computer. And you can give it some voice commands to do some of those things for you. But you're still going to be using the keyboard, the mouse. You're going to be interacting. It's not going to be complete like you've seen in movies where you say computer and it goes...
Like Captain Kirk, right?
Yes, Bernie. How may I serve you today?
That's what I'm looking for.
Yeah, and so if that's what you're looking for, you're going to be a little disappointed because that's not the reality of what we have today.
Uh-huh.
It's good, but you're going to still have to learn how to use the computer at the end of the day because it is going to help save time when you're typing an email, when you're typing up a document that you want to print out and send.
If I give it a command like computer, internet, look up ABC company, is it going to do that, or it's pretty much for like WordPerfect or dictating?
Some of that stuff that you talked about, I mean, you can have it acknowledge simple commands, usually one or two word kind of commands. But the amount of time it's going to take for you to set that up, that's still going to require you. It's not like you put the software in out of the box and it understands how to do everything you want. You've got to take the time to teach it that when you say internet, it then pulls up Internet Explorer. And then you say email and it knows to pull up your email client. But you still have to configure all those things, you see. So you'll need either help with somebody that's comfortable doing that or you'll need to get comfortable. So my guess is by the time you get this thing, about the time you get this thing to really work the way your dream is,
uh-huh.
you'll be pretty comfortable using that PC because you will have had to spend a bunch of time configuring it to get there.
Well, I think I'll wait another 50 years and maybe they'll have something a little more my way out there. But gentlemen, thank you very much. You have a very
Absolutely.
Good program.
You know, hey, Bernie, something you can try is if you have a friend who has a PC.
Yes, I do.
I believe they have a trial version of the software that you can download.
Oh, okay.
And so you could convince your friend for baked goods or adult beverages or whatever it is that gets your friend to say, okay, we can try this on my computer.
Well, how about I don't change the wedding date of April 15th and put it off for another year?
Hey, whatever you got to do to make it work. So you get your friend to let you use the computer.
Mm-hmm.
You can download the trial. You can play with it a little bit and just get a sense of what it's going to do
Okay. Before
you decide to, you know, go out and buy a computer and do the whole thing. You can sort of try before you buy. Take a test drive.
Okay, thanks for the tip.
You bet.
Bye-bye.
Good luck with that, Bernie. And hey, if you get that working, if you get that happening, if you make it become your reality,
mm-hmm.
you owe us a call back so that we can tell everybody else what you did, how you did it. And
you will have it. Now, that trial, can I pull that right off the computer, or do I have to go to a retailer that is selling that that's got a...
No, I think you can get it right from their website, from your friend's computer.
Okay, great.
Okay?
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks for the call, Bernie. Did I hit the right button? Or did I put him back on hold? All right, the other button. There are these weird symbols that I'll have to get used to that, but...
It's a learning curve.
We're getting there. It could be worse, right?
Hey, we've made it this far.
We've made it this far. We've got a full hour and a half left to go. We're talking about the big question. To repair, to replace, to upgrade, what is it? Those are the questions. We've got the answers, and we've got a line open for you at 602-277-5827. It's the Computer Corner. We're rolling on after we get you caught up with some news, some traffic, some whatever else they got for you.
All that good stuff.
You stay with us. Yeah. Welcome back to the Computer Corner.
I'm liking the grooves.
That's a nice
little jam. You're liking
jam.
The grooves? So I think... We should make a note for the guys. I think whatever line three is, I think it's not working because it never has a call on it and all the other ones are full. I don't know.
Line three is broken.
We can live without line three, I'm sure, right?
We'll be okay.
Yeah.
During the break, I just uploaded some video to Data Doctor's Facebook page. If you're not currently a fan, facebook.com/datadoctors. Get a little feel for what the new studio looks like and where we're broadcasting from right now. Pretty neat.
Is it good stuff?
It's good stuff. You're in it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Surprise, surprise. Oh, is that the stuff you were shooting earlier when
yeah.
we first got here?
Yeah.
All right. If you want to check out what the new digs are like, facebook.com/datadoctors. That's your sneak peek.
Yeah.
Are we not supposed to talk about that there's a new studio? Does anybody care? I don't know. I don't know if
they
want to do an official unveiling on Monday or if anybody really cares. Nobody cares.
Okay.
I didn't hear what you said, if you meant to say it to me, by the way. So we're learning all the buttons. It's all good. I'm sure I knew what you were trying to say either way. So we're talking about the big question, to repair, to upgrade, to replace. You have something that's a little bit old. It's technology. And
well, technology gets old as soon as you buy it.
It was old the day you bought it, right?
It depreciates immediately.
Right. So the big question comes up quite often. Well, wouldn't I be better off just buying a new one? Well, let's examine that. What is it that's wrong with your old one? If it's got major hardware problems, the machine's 5-6 years old, yeah, in a lot of cases, that's going to make a lot more sense than trying to repair it by the time you put money into the hardware parts, and those hardware parts are hard to find because it's older and they're more expensive. Yeah, that. But if you've got a couple, like a 2-3-year-old machine, it's doing everything. If it was working properly, it's doing everything you need it to do. There's nothing wrong with it hardware-wise. It just got badly infected, whatever it is.
Well, I think this brings us back to a question you ask me so often. What are you trying to accomplish through doing this? What are you, or do you want to?
Yeah.
Is it buying a new computer? Is it because it's nice and shiny and pretty?
And that's cool. That's what it is.
And that's not a bad reason necessarily. But
right.
That being said,
one thing that we might want to evaluate too is the cost of repair versus the whether
the true cost to replace.
Yeah,
right.
Whether or not that's going to be the price of repairing is going to be cost effective over getting the new one.
Right. It's got to be significantly less, right? Because if it's going to cost $200 to fix it and a new computer is $250, well, duh. I mean,
right.
Why would I waste my time even thinking about that? But if it's $200 to fix it or $600, $700 to replace, well, now I got something to think about. Wait a minute. There's a significant difference. And so now it comes down to, well, do I just want the new shiny thing? Because that's cool. If so, let's, there's no discussion. We're done. Let's just move on. But if it's really about, this thing does everything I want it to do, just this only annoying thing is happening. Well, let's solve the annoying thing and get you back to where you want to be. And that's very doable. So we've got resources for you posted online, datadoctors.com/radio. And, of course, lines open for you, 602-277-5827. And up next, it's Stu, who has all kinds of questions about, maybe repair, replace. Stu, welcome to the Computer Corner.
Hey, I hate to throw a technical glitch at you right away, but when I was on the phone, I never heard the radio station. So
you couldn't, you couldn't hear us when you were on hold?
Nope, I couldn't. So I kept thinking, I kept cheating and listening to the radio.
Well, we appreciate you turning it down when you got on the air, and thanks for telling us so we can make a note, and we'll get it solved.
Yeah. I was hoping I wasn't on line three. Anyway.
if you're on line three, I don't see you, and I'm really sorry. But I'll tell everybody who's holding. Stu, we're talking to you, but we got Alice, Dennis, and Joe, so I can see all you. You guys will be up. You're cool.
Right.
If you're not Alice, Dennis, or Joe, sorry. I don't see you. I probably won't get you.
All right. Hey, I've got about a 3-year-old compact Presario laptop. And I, you know, computers to me are kind of magic. So there's no magic happening. So I was sitting on the couch, and I didn't have it plugged in, and the battery ran down. It told me, you know, you have, you know, so much battery left, and you have to plug in to my outlet. And I plugged it in, zap, that was it. So there's no, when I plug it in, there's no recharging light. I actually went to a computer store and had them try a different, you know, cord on it, and it didn't charge from there. So it just doesn't, you know, there's no battery and there's no AC power to it. So I don't, you know, at that point, I mean, because of my technical ability with computers, that was it.
Okay.
So I thought, well, I better call you guys because it's only about 3.5. It's about 3.5 years old, and I'm wondering, should I, you know, it has all the computer programs I want on it, but I don't know what
do I fix it or do I replace it? That's the question,
exactly.
Right? So it's today's
right.
show. It's perfect. It fits the theme. We appreciate you playing along. So there's a couple things. If it's my laptop, first thing, you've got one or two possible problems, and it could be either or both of these issues. And so the first thing is somebody took and plugged in another power adapter, but if it's not the exact same power adapter, meaning it doesn't have the same voltage and amperage settings, then it's like they didn't do anything. So we've got to, rather than plug in another adapter, I would actually just test the exact adapter you have. Anybody that has a simple voltmeter should be able to give you a quick, yes, this is dead, or no, this thing's fine. Because if the power adapter's dead, well, then once that's replaced, in theory, it charges your battery and off you go, right? And the other thing is that if your power adapter is functional but your battery is dead, it's possible that some batteries will get what's called a dead short in them when they go bad. And so if you were to remove the battery but leave the AC adapter plugged in theory, the laptop would come on, everything would work, assuming your power adapter is good. Now, there are a few models of laptops that need the battery in while they're plugged in, but it's pretty rare.
Huh. I did take the battery out. I took the battery out and plugged the cord in and then plugged the battery back in and plugged the cord in. So I kind of did that. I mean, that's about my limited ability.
Have you tried powering it on with just the AC adapter plugged in but with the battery out?
I did, yep.
And nothing there?
Nothing happened.
And you're not seeing any kind of LED or light indicator on the laptop?
One of the most common things that I get as well is you should check to see if the AC jack where it plugs into the computer is actually loose, because sometimes if somebody has tripped over the cord or something like that, it might have come unsoldered or broken a little bit inside the computer itself.
So, Stu, do you understand what he's saying there? On the back of the laptop where the power cord actually plugs in physically to the laptop, that interface, if that's loose, if you can wiggle it at all, if it's been damaged in any way, then it'll never make contact. And so your AC adapter, a brand new one out of the box, nothing's going to solve that problem until that issue's been resolved.
Okay.
So those can come loose inside the laptop, and if that happens, then that needs to be repaired. That's a very common repair we make all the time in our stores. It's probably the most common repair when it comes to hardware on laptops.
Yeah, I think that's fine. I mean, I've never really jostled that thing around. I really took care of it, so it was kind of a surprise to me that, you know.
And the other thing is that the battery, the same voltmeter we were talking about before, in theory, if there's any charge at all left in that battery, that same voltmeter would be able to tell you that, there's at least a little trickle of a charge here, and versus, no, there's nothing at all.
We're just talking about a simple voltmeter. You can go buy at Radio Shack for $10.
I don't know if all of our shops have these things in the shops, but I think probably most of our shops do. You're welcome to call, one of the data doctors around, say, hey, the guys on the radio said, hey, if I called you and you had this voltmeter, you could check this for me. We'll do that no charge for you, just to check it out, see if it's functioning for you.
Absolutely.
The other thing you said, now the thing's about 3 years old?
Correct.
And have you ever replaced the battery, or it's the original battery?
No, it's the original battery.
Okay, so that's about the general lifespan of laptop batteries these days. They they go for 2.5, 3 years, maybe 4 years. So it may be that battery is just done, but before I went and spent money on a new battery, I'd make sure to get the AC adapter checked out and that DC jack. Make sure that it's not the culprit here. If both those things are intact, they're both functioning just fine, then I think I'd probably spend the bucks on getting a battery and running in that direction.
All right.
Okay. And you're talking about if the hardware, if that DC jack were the issue, for example,
right,
the max I could see you spending on getting that fixed, parts, labor, tax, the whole thing all in, it'd be less than $200 would be my guess.
Okay.
An AC adapter, if you hunt around online, that'll be under $100, and a battery will be definitely under $100. So any of those things, I mean, you're if any one of those is your problem, now if two of those is your problem, then you're looking at maybe a max of $300. If all of them are your problem, then you're looking at $400. So that helps you really start to think about to repair or to replace, because you know what things cost out there. And if you're seeing those netbooks out there, which look like laptops, but they don't have all the stuff under the hood, those things start generally about, you know, $280 to $300, somewhere in there. And those are the least powerful kinds of computers out there. They're think about a car that gets you basically from point A to point B, but has no frills, no whistles, no stereo, no windows or hand crank. It'll get you there, but
isn't
just barely.
What they call a Vespa?
Yeah, so netbooks are the
computer world.
That's what netbooks are. They're very functional for very basic things. But for your everyday driver, probably not your thing. Most people that have them as a second or a third computer, not as their primary.
Okay.
So if you're going to compare the repair to replace, kind of that objective, you're going down that path, make sure you're looking at something that is going to do what you want it to do, the end job, not just the bare minimum requirements that'll just get you online.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Did we give you way too much information to be able to even go down a path?
No, I almost gave up on it and thought, well, I'll probably wind up calling and taking it over and checking it out.
What part of the valley are you in? What's your cross streets?
Actually, I'm in Buckeye.
In Buckeye? Gosh, Buckeye. I'm trying to think. Wow, you're
kind of. I'm in East LA.
Yeah, we don't have much going out there on the west side for whatever reason. So, figure out your path to work, and if you hunt on our website, you can put in your zip code and, you know, like where you work and or someplace you visit often, and you can figure out what's close to us.
Being out in Buckeye, I have to visit a lot of places. You're just not allowed out here right now.
Yeah, no, and it might be a few years before anything gets going out there, huh?
Yep, but I appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for the call, Stu. You have a great weekend.
Thank
you very much. And if you get that thing solved, you let us know.
All right, thank you.
All right, thanks.
Bye-bye.
That frees up a line, 602-277-5827, just in time for us to take a quick timeout, get caffeinated.
And that line is not line 3.
No. And there's already somebody on it, so the old rule, if you hear us hang up, it's time for you to dial in because, well.
That means there's a line open.
Not anymore.
Oh.
It's already gone.
Man.
But that's okay. Your time will come.
We will be coming back.
You just chill. You wait. Alice, Dennis, Joe, you folks are in. You sit tight. And for the rest of you, we'll be back right after this short break. Stick around. To repair, to replace, to upgrade. It's always the question when you've got technology and something's going wrong and you're trying to figure out what makes the most sense. And we're here to help you make sense of it all. We've got no lines open right now, but when you hear somebody hang up with us, 602-277-5827. That's the number for you to dial to get on through. Of course, you can join us in the meantime, anytime, online at datadoctors.com/radio. And there you'll find links to ask questions, make suggestions, get involved in the blog, check out our Facebook fan page. Don't just check it out. Interact with us. We talk back. We don't just talk one way. You can ask us stuff and we'll try to help you as best we can. We'll give you advice. We'll point you in the right direction, whatever it is. It's our, we do the show once a week. We send out a newsletter once a week. A lot of stuff happens in technology in all the space in between. And so that's generally the place where we try to keep up during the week. So facebook.com/datadoctors is a quick way to get there.
Check out our podcasts on iTunes as well.
Yeah, if you search for Data Doctors or Computer Corner, you'll find them. And we finally fixed, by the way, somebody let me know the other day, we didn't have a picture. We just had the generic podcast icon, if you were on iTunes looking. So
I was noticing that.
Now we've got a picture, and before the author information was, well, all that's fixed. So it's all good. We're more easier to find now.
It was difficult to find initially, I think.
Yeah, we added keywords, a bunch of stuff, so it make it a lot easier for you to find. If you just search Data Doctors or Computer Corner, either way, you'll find us. It's quick. It's easy.
Now, can I ask you a personal question? Do you download those podcasts and listen to yourself after the show?
No.
Yeah.
So I'll tell you why. 90% of this show is being recorded right now, and then it's being recorded. So then we take that and we cut it up and edit it and put it together in a single file, and then we upload it and make it available on our site and podcast, all that kind of stuff, right? Well, I'm doing that 90% of the time. So I've already listened to the whole thing in pieces.
So really the answer is yes. No, I'm just
so kidding. To resubscribe to. I mean, I've tested it just to make sure that it's all functional and working, and yeah, but yeah.
You know what?
If I didn't do the show, I would definitely listen because we are awesome.
You know what?
And humble.
My mom, for the longest time, uses iTunes, but had never figured out how to subscribe to a podcast. So I, got her on to Data Doctor's podcast, and now she's listened to it through her iPod.
So we know a lot of people listening have that exact problem, but they don't know how. We made it as easy as possible. If you have iTunes installed on your computer right now, check this out. It's like three clicks, right? iTunes pre-installed, that's your prerequisite. If it's already installed on your machine, you come to then our site, datadoctors.com. You click where it says radio show, so there's one click, right? Once you're on that radio show page, scroll down just under the section where it says listen to the radio show. There's a follow us, and there's three big icons. One says Facebook, one says Twitter, one says iTunes. If you click the one that says iTunes, it will take you magically to the iTunes store, quote unquote. Don't worry, we don't charge for it. It's free, but it has to take you to the store. And if you have iTunes installed, it'll automatically open iTunes, and you'll be at a little page where it shows all about the show and shows the recent episodes and all that. There's one button right there. You hit subscribe. When you do, you will be subscribed.
That's all there is to
it. And then every time we upload a new show, it'll automatically come to your machine. You open up iTunes, and it'll be sitting there waiting for you to listen to. Easy as that. So three clicks, right? We made it easy for you.
Sync it to your iPhone, your iPod, your Touch,
whatever you want to do. But getting it, we made that part a lot easier. After you got it, well, that's up to you. You can call us about it. We'll help you with that way. Whatever. If I try to take a caller right now, it's not going to work because I think, is it 5650, 5720, 5650?
What?
50.
54?
Yeah, I'll hear music and I'll know what to do. So Adrian, Alice, Dennis, Joe, I'm going to have you folks hang on. And I know you've been hanging out there for quite a while. If you'd be patient with us just a touch more on the other side of the news break, we are going to definitely get to your calls, to your questions. For the rest of you, we've got resources, as I mentioned, posted online, datadoctors.com. That didn't come out. Datadoctors.com.
Yeah, no,
I kind of like
sounded okay.
Glossed over it all.
There was no P's.
Slash
it.
Radio show. P's are dangerous here.
S's
and
are...
the resources S's. We're talking about is things to help you kind of make that ultimate decision. Repair, replace, upgrade. You're thinking about upgrading to Windows 7, we've got some resources and things to help make that transition a little bit smoother and to help answer that question. What about migration software, stuff that's supposed to help you get all your old data, your settings? Does that stuff really work? Yeah. If it does, what's the best stuff? We've got links to that. Netbooks versus notebooks. We just had a brief kind of topic on that, but there's a whole lot of information to understand. And by no means am I or are we saying netbooks are bad, but they're probably not your only computer.
They serve their purpose,
yes.
Just as the Vespa does.
How long do hard drives last? Laptop battery ratings, because the guy earlier was saying, well, how long should those things last? And these are questions people have, and they fall right into that category of, do I repair, do I replace? We've got those answers for you. And of course, if you stay tuned for the next hour, we're going to have a lot more for you.
We'll be right back.
We'll be back? Of course we will.
Yeah.
Your calls, your questions, 602-277-5827. It is the Computer Corner. Stick around.
The thing I'm having is I just bought a stupid wireless mouse.
But can I do that with Wi-Fi?
Now my screensaver doesn't work.
And that's the solution I'm looking for.
Yep, that would be it.
Something that they call drive-by download.
Okay, stop there.
Try to boot into something called safe mode. Take my advice and go get this free program that is out of this world.
Eliminate those and see if the problem still persists.
Oh, that's a great idea. Okay, I didn't think about that.
Does your computer bite?
There's nothing that comes in the computer that's of any value.
Has your hard drive gone floppy?
The head whack is the thing that makes you kind of go,
don't! It's time to call the Computer Corner.
We're not your daddy's computer radio show.
Is this thing on?
On News Talk 92.3, KTAR.
Welcome to hour number two of the Computer Corner in the new home.
KTAR.
That was, I don't know what that was. Never do that again.
There wasn't an AP in it.
That's true. So in case you didn't hear, KTAR moved to new studios, new buildings, all new equipment. Everything here is new except for the people. Same people. Like that P in there?
People. Anyway.
I could say same dudes.
Yeah.
Is that better? It
guys,
gets rid of that.
Ladies.
Us. Everything else is pretty much new, and for the most part, things are going pretty smooth. Thanks mostly to Pete over there who makes sure. We can't call you Pete anymore because it has a P in it. Thanks to that guy over there who makes sure that we sound kind of smooth. As smooth as he can do.
Right.
And we got some minor little things. I think if you're on hold with us, you may not hear our voices, and we apologize for that. So if you're listening to the radio while you're on hold, that's cool, as long as you know the rules that when we come to you, you got to turn that radio down so that we don't get this crazy feedback, because it'll be nuts, and you'll hate it, we'll hate it.
Yeah.
People listening will really hate it. It's not good. So
you'd think radio has been around long enough that people would have figured that out by now.
Yeah, I think they know, but they forget.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you're excited. You get on. Oh, my gosh. I've been holding. I mean, you know what? Joe has been holding, and Alice, they've been holding for a really long time. In fact,
we ought to probably get to them.
Right after.
Geek Speak of the
Week. The Geek Speak of the Week, which we have no music for, and Clay promised to hum.
Geek Speak of the Week.
Da, 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 da.
All right, we have no music for right now, because that's one of the things that somehow hasn't made its way over yet here in the new building, but that's all right. Each and every week, we do bring you some vernacular from the world of geekdom. We translate that there geek into English, help you understand that terminology, that phrase, that word, that whatever it is. We break it down for you into something you can understand so that you're just more better educated, more gooder educated.
More gooder.
So now that...
we learn you something.
Edumacate us.
All right. The Geek Speak of the Week is faux tweeter. A person
who... faux tweeter.
Wait, faux.
I'm thinking
Fox?
Speakers.
No, faux.
Like faux painting, right? The sponge it's, thing, and right? So
oh, the pretty stuff.
Pretend, fake, yeah. Right? False, facade. These are
gotcha.
All the words that sort of...
don't have being.
...kind of coincide, right? So we got that, and tweeter, which is like the smallest speaker on a set of speakers.
There
right?
you go.
The little one.
So the fake small speaker on a set of speakers?
Yeah, but I don't know about it. That doesn't make any sense.
The faux tweeter is a person who sets up a fake celebrity account on Twitter. So they're tweeting.
Oh, that
and
kind
it's
of tweeter.
Fake. Yes.
Duh.
So that's actually become kind of a big problem where people will, you know, be following these celebrities thinking that it's actually them, and turns out it's just a fan or someone else. And I've heard lots of radio interviews and that kind of stuff with celebrities, and turns out, you know, they're talking like, "Hey, I've been following you on Twitter. Is that actually you?" And a lot of people say, "No, I don't have a Twitter account."
So yeah. So if you go to Twitter and you are enterprising and you try to go get somebody really famous like Clayton Moline,
yeah,
if it's not taken, you can have it, and then you can
famous.
Impersonate him.
And then I would have to, if I decided to.
I
wasn't on Twitter at that point in time and did decide to join the club.
You've taken alternate, right?
I would have to become the real Clayton Moline.
Right, and so that happened with one of the most famous stories is Mr. Shaquille O'Neal.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody actually got Shaquille O'Neal as their Twitter name, so it's, you know, twitter.com/Shaquille O'Neal, and they were trying to impersonate him. They were being a faux tweeter, and he went out and got the real Shaq.
Which is what a lot of those celebrities have done, is go out and
so a preemptive
use that
move,
prefix.
Yeah, if you're going to be
the
faux tweeter, you get the real whoever, and people will think that you're the legit version,
exactly.
And when in fact you're not.
So you have a celebrity who's actually on Twitter,
yeah.
And then you put out the real.
So if you're trying to impersonate me, you would use the real Clayton.
And then you'd be forced to get, no, really.
Yeah.
It is the real Clayton.
Exactly.
Which is way too long.
Too many
hard
characters
to explain.
Say that wouldn't work out. Yeah.
Yeah.
And no one would follow that.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's our worthless segment called The Geek Speak of the Week. There you have it. It's out of the way. Now, more important than all
of that
is...
Let's get to some of these callers here.
Is getting to Alice, who's been holding for what seems like a decade, I'm sure, to her, and for a really long time. Hey, Alice, welcome to the Computer Corner. How can
we
help?
Oh, wow, yes. I couldn't hear it either, so...
Well, hey, thanks for letting us know. We're going to get all those kinks worked out, but
okay, sure.
The good news is everything works here, and our brains still work as well as they can.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, a couple things. One is, how are malware, you know, are they bytes? How are they measured? How is malware measured?
When you say how is it measured, I'm not
yards,
sure I understand.
Well,
feet?
Like, for instance,
pounds.
When I took my computer into your facility in Deer Valley and got it repaired.
Yes.
And they said they removed 235 bytes of malware. And when I talked with my daughter, who's a computer scientist up in Minnesota, she said bytes are nothing.
Yeah, that wouldn't that wouldn't make much sense. Probably it's instances, so it would be, gosh, it's a little bit difficult to explain. But when we remove malware is now a generic term for viruses, spyware,
it's
adware, right? All the bad stuff in your computer, anything unwanted that's from a not trusted source that's doing bad things or suspicious things. That's all in that big category of malware. And so when we remove malware, generally individual files are infected. And so if they removed 135 instances...
Oh, 235,
great. If that's the number of instances of malware, that means there were that many files. So 235
files.
Yeah.
Okay, individual files.
And
maybe that was just somebody typoing, but I would never express it as bytes, and it wouldn't make a lot of sense because... You know, the bytes are really insignificant. Who cares how many megabytes, gigabytes? It doesn't matter. It's being infected with malware is not a good thing. And so getting all that stuff stripped out. And you know, to be honest with you, if somebody's telling you the number of instances of something they're removing, it's just to help you sort of quantify and understand that this was a minor problem, a major problem, in-between problem. And to be honest, that number, it's a little bit more than what we'd call typical. But it's not super high. It's a moderate infection. Would that be fair?
I'd say that's pretty fair.
Okay. Yeah. And then they said there were zero viruses. So.
Okay, so then the malware in that case would be things not including viruses. Malware, again, usually, and it's newer terminology, but it usually encompasses everything including viruses, but they're breaking viruses out separately then. That's fine.
And I'd say that term's kind of changed or morphed over time to encompass
everything. Okay, so now here's my problem now, okay? This computer used to work just great about 3 months ago. And since then, it's just been terrible. I have all kinds of problems, so I took it in. All right, and I'm still having problems, lots of them, and I just am not sure where to go or what to do.
Well, if you brought it to one of our shops, I can make it real easy for you. We guarantee all the work we do. If it's not completely the way you want it to be, then that's our problem to solve for you. And so all you need to do is get back in touch with the store you took it to and just say, hey, this is Alice, and you know what? You guys did a great job. But some things are still not right. Can I bring it back down and let me show you the things that still aren't right? And will you make it right for me? And they should take great care of you.
Okay. I sent Ryan an email and he answered me. He was very, very good about getting back to me. But let me just ask you briefly.
You bet.
Why were we unable to print like postage and boarding passes? And then we went to the other, our hard drive computer, because I'm talking about a laptop that I'm having problem with. But it was printed in about 30 seconds, not the postage, but the boarding pass. My daughter spent a half an hour on my laptop trying to print her boarding pass and was unable to do it.
It could be any number of things, including print drivers not being there, some other service not running, a plug-in like a PDF reader. I mean, there's literally 100 different possibilities, and so that's one of the things that you can show them. Here's specifically what I'm trying to do. It doesn't work. The guy seeing it will go, oh, yeah, we can solve that. What else? You make a laundry list of all the stuff that isn't working to your satisfaction, and those guys up there will take great care of you. Okay?
All right, thanks.
All right. If you have any problems at all, you definitely track me down, and I will make sure that we get you great service, get you taken care of, Alice. Okay?
Thank you.
You bet. Thanks for the call. We got to take a quick time out here. When we come back, more of your calls and questions. Joe with the blue screen, you're up next. Stick around. Welcome back to the Computer Corner. You know, if you missed any part of this show, previous shows, it can be from last week, last month, or last year, we archive all that stuff. We make it available to you 24/7 at our website, datadoctors.com/radio. Just look for the previous shows button. And like a DeLorean speeding down the road at 88 miles an hour, you can go back in time, find what it is you're looking for, listen to the show on your schedule, and... see the resources, do all the cool stuff. It's all there for you, datadoctors.com/radio. We make time travel possible.
It's like a podcast, but you just download it from the link on the website.
But it's not just the audio. All the resources, there, everything.
Everything
our smiling faces, whatever it is.
Exactly.
Whatever it was that was a part of that show, it's captured in time forever.
All those links.
Like I said, it's KTAR and Data Doctors making time travel possible.
There we go.
This message brought to you by DeLorean. Whatever. I said we'd go to Joe when we came back from the break.
Let's go to
if
Joe.
If I don't get Joe right now, A, Joe's going to be mad at us. B, I'll be a liar, and I can't live with either of those things. Hey, Joe, welcome to the Computer Corner. How can we help you today, sir?
Hi, I have a Dell Dimension E510, and I was working fine this morning, and now I have this page fault in non-paged area screen. And the technical information is very limited. It says stop at an address.
Yeah, we don't. The E064, you know, they put all that information there supposedly for your technical support personnel.
Well, it ends in 50 or 70 on this thing here, but yeah.
We look at all that, and for the most part, most of the time, it means the same thing to us as it does to you.
Okay.
I mean, cool thing is you can sometimes Google those things, and they'll give you a little bit of an idea of what they mean.
I've been down around that block already.
Cool. So you're getting this crazy blue screen of death, we call that.
Mm-hmm.
BSOD, or BSOD, if you're really into the geekdom. Generally, these things, there's two possibilities. Like a car, right? It's always, is it fuel or is it spark? In computers, is it hardware or is it software?
Mm-hmm.
And so until we make that determination, we got to do some real basic things to sort of figure that out. And so is this when you're trying to boot into Windows? Is it?
What's when I'm trying to boot into Windows, can't boot into safe mode, can't get beyond normal startup.
So you're already smarter than the average bear, because our first suggestion would be try safe mode.
Yeah. I actually did something beyond that. I called your store, and I was wondering, if they could look at this today.
Sure. I'm sure if you want to bring it down, they'll take a look. But before you even do that, we can try a couple of things. And so this is where you have to put in the, I lost my keys, let me retrace my steps. The last 2-3 weeks, maybe even week. Have you added or removed any hardware, added memory, changed a hard drive, added an external thing, a new printer, anything you can think of that would have been something new you've introduced to the system?
Not at all.
And no software you've not upgraded to the latest?
I suspect that Microsoft sent me a little update that I installed unknowingly, one of those critical updates.
Sure.
I suspect one of those, possibly.
Okay. So that's a possibility, not a real high probability, but a possibility. So we'll put that on the list of maybes. And you haven't done anything. I mean, there's nothing out of the normal use that's happened.
Well, and then maybe aside from a software and adding of hardware, did you notice any slowing of the system? Was there any progressive, or did this just happen suddenly?
Suddenly. Worked fine this morning and suddenly gone.
And we got no clicking, no ticking, no grinding, no weird sounds, things that sound different to you.
No hard drive grinding. No.
Okay. So these are all the things that we start to look at as an early stage. We talked about the safe mode thing. Do you have good backups? Do you keep good backups?
I have a synchronization from 2 days ago, yes.
Okay. And is this a laptop or a desktop machine?
Desktop.
Okay. So if it's me and I'm a little bit technical and I feel a little comfortable under the hood, I'd open the cover up and I'd start looking for things visually. Specifically, are all the fans spinning, and are they spinning at a fast speed when the thing's powered on? Mm-hmm. Also, look for little things on the mainboard or motherboard that stand off, that look kind of like small batteries. Those are called capacitors. Mm-hmm. If any of those are bulging or leaking fluids, bad news there.
Yeah, blown.
So looking
caps.
At those basic things, just visual inspection. A lot of times you'll find some things there. If not, then it's probably time to get some professional help involved. And any of our shops, you bring it on down, they'll take some time to understand your problem, understand how you use the computer, and at least point you in a direction, if nothing else.
Okay, was there a consultation fee?
No, we check it out at no cost to you. So, bring it on down. They'll work with you.
One last question. Do I need to bring the software with me?
I got to run to a break. I will pick you up on the other side here. We'll be back right after this short news break. Stick around. Welcome back to the Computer Corner. We've got a full half hour of show left for you. If you missed any part, or if you want to get involved, or if you want to see resources, or whatever it is you want to do, 602-277-5827 is the number. And the website, datadoctors.com/radio.
And if you're one of those Twitter people, you can connect to us via Twitter. Twitter.com/thedatadoc or Twitter.com/datarecoverypro.
That's where Clay tweets.
That's, yeah. If you want to follow me.
I haven't gotten into the whole Twitter thing. I can't do it.
Well, I try to stay on topic, you know, and give relevant information about the
things in
the data recovery and computer forensics war.
I don't think I'm capable of being that concise. That's the problem for me. 160 characters, really? I can't do it.
I just feel like I'm not interesting enough to be
well, there's
tweeting all the time, you know? Like, what does anybody care what I have to say during the day? I'm making some food, I decided I'm going to eat.
It's definitely quality over quantity. Yeah. Or at least that's what I prefer.
Yeah, and see, I'm like Kyle, where I don't think I have a whole lot of quality to contribute. I mean, go figure that for 2 hours I'm talking on the air now.
Right.
Pete, stop agreeing in there.
He's shaking his head yes.
Not allowed.
No.
Anyway, we've got that. We're just Google Datadog or whatever. We're at all those places doing all those things. We try to stay engaged. We try to help you folks out with whatever we can during the week, on the weekends, at 2 o'clock in the morning, whatever it is. If we can help make your technology lives, you're navigating the technology superhighway, we can make that a little easier for you. Well, then we sleep better at night, and so do you. So, anyway, we're going to jump back to the phones and talk to more people about the question, which really is sort of our topic today. Do I recycle? Do I replace? Is it worth fixing? Am I better off buying new? I've got these issues. Does it really make sense? That's sometimes a tough question to answer, and we're doing our best to help you, at least point you in a direction, lead you down a path, whatever it is. And if that's not your question, that's not your issue, that's fine too. 602-277-5827. That's the number Adrian dialed, and Adrian's up next here on the Computer Corner. Adrian, welcome.
Hello.
How can we help, sir?
I'm working on a gateway laptop that my daughter gave me, and I want to take the operating system out and reinstall a fresh one.
Okay.
But there's a Norton antivirus in there that has some time left on the subscription. Is there any way I can salvage that before I format the hard drive?
So the answer is maybe. Did you buy the software as disks that you installed, or did you download it from the internet or renew something existing?
Since I got the computer from my daughter, she doesn't know how the Norton got in there.
Okay. So the answer is probably then no, but we might save your day anyway. What operating system are you currently running, and what are you thinking of reloading?
Well, I'm going to take out the XP and put the XP back in there.
Okay. While you're going through the pain of reloading, because the pain comes after, which is getting all your settings, your updates, all that kind of stuff going, is this machine older than probably two and a half years old?
It's probably around 5 or 6. I've worked on it before.
Okay. I mean, if it's not in bad shape, if you've kept up and added some RAM to it, and do you know how much memory is in the machine, RAM?
Well, that was going to be my next question. See, when I turn on the computer, Microsoft, and I come to the system, it tells me there's 512 megabytes. But if I pull the chip out of the bottom, it tells me there's only half of that, which is 256 megabytes.
Well, is it a laptop computer?
Yes.
So there's probably another 256 that was built onto the motherboard that you can't remove. And with the 256 you've added, you've now doubled that up to 512.
Okay.
Now, just so you know, that's the bare minimum. If this was my mom's computer, I'd say, Mom, dude, what are we doing here? It's time to throw some RAM in this baby. I would load that thing up. If you plan on keeping it for more than a year or so, I would put in as much as you can make that machine take, up to 3 gig or so, and I wouldn't go beyond that because that's a waste.
The spec says it can hold up to a gig.
Up to a gig. So you would have to put a 1 gig chip in there if it only has – does it have just one socket you can put something in?
Right.
Yeah, so you'd have to put a 1 gig chip in there. And the cost of that thing, depending on how old it is and specifics and things, I bet you that thing's less than $50.
Yeah, I already checked on 512 gigs. Megabytes was $27.
Yeah, I would get the 1 gig and don't mess with the 512. It's probably only a few bucks more. And trust me when I tell you, it is the best bang for the buck you can throw in that thing.
Okay, I was going to do that anyway.
So if you're going to do that and you're going to go down this path and this pain, you might consider Windows 7. Now, if it's something you're going to have to go out and make a purchase, that kind of thing, it may not be worth the money, but, you know, it may be, I don't know, that's up to you, but if you're going to reload, first things first, make sure you've got a good backup.
Right.
You're already thinking ahead, which is what caused you to call, which is, well, do I have the disks to reinstall my programs? The answer is probably yes in a lot of cases, but in at least one, which is your antivirus, you don't. Now, the good news is that Microsoft recently released a piece of software that is an antivirus, anti-spyware, sort of an anti-malware called Microsoft Security Essentials.
Mm-hmm.
It's free if you are a legitimate license holder, meaning you have a non-counterfeit, you know, you have a real copy of XP, a key, that kind of thing.
I do. I bought one from Fry's Electronics.
Fantastic. So if that thing will validate and let you activate, then you can download this free what's called Microsoft Security Essentials. And in our opinion, it's a better product than that thing you have from Symantec. Our favorite stuff is, you know, it's called Webroot Antivirus Anti-Spyware. It's a whole package. But if you're looking for something that's free that does a good job, in our opinion, that's one of the best things out there. And it's from Microsoft, so it works with the stuff you already have. It's good stuff.
Spell that for me?
Sure. Security Essentials. You need me to spell that?
No, the mix up or mix up.
For what's that?
From Microsoft. What's it called again?
It's called Microsoft Security Essentials.
Oh, okay.
That's what you're going to go search for. If you put that in Google, you will find a link directly to it. And a couple of clicks, like I said, it's going to validate. So once you've got the new operating system installed, it's one of the first things you'll want to do. But beyond that, by the way, when you install the new operating system, make sure you go get all the latest service packs, patches, updates. You're going to have some download time, so make sure you're plugged into a high-speed connection and ready to rock.
Yeah. I called you a couple weeks ago because I had this other laptop I was working on, and I downgraded it from Vista down to XP, and it took me a little while to get the drivers, but I finally got that thing running.
Yeah, so you are a laptop resurrection man.
Well, I do desktops, too. I told you what my terms of service are. No charge, no guarantee.
Hey, that's not bad though. No charge, no guarantee. So the only downside is if a guy like Adrian works on your computer, no charge, no guarantee, that also means if he loses all your stuff.
This is not my problem.
Right. So make sure you back it up before you let Adrian get your hands on it, because your mileage may vary. But hey Adrian, good luck with that, and you're welcome to call us back anytime you need advice on helping people out.
Every time I've called you guys, everything's worked. This is about the sixth time I've called you in about 4 or 5 years. So
fantastic! Good deal. We're batting. I don't even know what the average is. 1,000.
100%.
100%. Quit shaking your head in there. Come on.
Your radio's not working on the phone, as someone told you before.
Yes, and we appreciate the feedback. We'll get that solved, sir. And
first time I called you, Brian Scalzo, he didn't have the 6-second delay turned on.
Brian Scalzo's not the man you talk to. You talk to somebody far greater than
that. This was a long time ago.
Oh, a long time ago. Oh, well. Anyway, thanks for the info. Good luck with that, Adrian, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
See you, bye.
Did I get the right button?
I think you did.
I think I got the right ones finally. I'm figuring this thing out, Pete. We're going to get through this, I promise you. Is it time for a... No, it's not. It's not time. We got time for all kinds of things if we want to spend time doing things.
Excellent.
Awesome.
So we've been talking about the repair, replace, and somebody got Adrian, because he's no charge, no guarantee, to do the repair.
Mm-hmm.
Because in their case, you know, the machine's not running well. It's probably having some issues. He's going to go through and reload, and it's a little bit of pain. But they're not paying for Adrian's time, which is good. He's doing all the right things to make sure. If you're going to end up doing the reload thing, and if you want the quickest way to solve just about any problem that's not hardware-based, that's the quickest way from a getting the problem solved, but the most painful way from what happens in the aftermath. And so that's one way to do it. That's to wipe it out and start over. If you've got everything backed up that you care about, if you've got your program disks, and Adrian's doing his homework now, because the worst thing in the world is to be halfway through that process and figure out you don't have something you need to complete it.
Horrible.
And there's no going back. So back up, make sure you got your stuff, cross your fingers, and roll with it. And then be prepared to spend a better part of a day getting everything back to working the way you want it to.
Depending on how many programs you originally had installed and configured.
Yeah, it's a little bit of pain.
A little.
Or you can try to repair it and avoid all that. Back to the phones.
Let's do it.
I'm hunting for... I can't read with... Oh, that's number 4. Hey, look at this. I figured it out. It's Glenn up next on the Computer Corner. Glenn, welcome, and how can we help?
I'm having a problem with Outlook. It started about a week ago. I sent an email that had an attachment, and it stayed in the sending mode. It appeared for a really long time, and I got a phone call from my dad, said, hey, I've received this thing like 8 times, and there's no attachment. I restarted my computer. Everything was fine. Now it happened again. It's like something is freezing while the email is sending, but it only does it periodically.
Does it do it primarily when you're sending things with large attachments, have you noticed?
Or? Same question I was going to ask.
No. One attachment, I mean, the big one was 1 megabyte.
Oh, that's not that big.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't. I mean, I've sent ones that are 8 before with no problem.
Okay, so let me ask a couple of questions. Do you know what version of Outlook you have or what version of Office you have?
2003.
Okay. There's a, in 2003, and I don't have it in front of me, but there's, if you open up Outlook or any of the Office programs as part of that suite, under, I believe it's Tools or under Help, actually it's under Help, there's a repair function.
Yep, I ran that today.
Okay.
It told me to put my disk in. I put my disk in, and it played around for a couple of minutes and said everything is fine.
Okay, so that what that does is it goes through and checks to make sure that there's no files that have been corrupted or damaged and repairs and replaces anything. So that's step one. If that didn't solve your problem, and you're not going to know for a day or two if it happens again, the next thing I'd try to do is in that same place under Help, there should be a check for updates or check updates link.
Yep, that too.
Okay, so that'll take you to not the Windows update site, but a Microsoft update site, and it looks similar, but it'll find any kind of updates, service packs, all those kinds of things you'd want to install, anything it can find for Office, make sure all that's cool. If you're still having issues after that, the final thing is if you do a little Google search for disabling Outlook add-ons. That's the key words I'd put in. Disable Outlook add-ons.
Okay.
And you'll find a couple of sites that will give you step-by-step instructions on how to navigate to where those are at. Because there's a couple of, if you're this version with this view, go this way, that kind of thing. So it's a little bit much to explain on the radio. But
okay. No problem.
If you go through that process and try to disable, and Microsoft actually has a pretty good troubleshooting section on disabling those add-ons. You start removing the add-ons, and it'll walk you through first what they call COM add-ins and then other things. As you go through that process, a lot of times you'll find the problem, find the culprit, and you'll pick up some performance. And there's all kinds of little programs that try to stick extra things in, and I wouldn't be surprised if something got in there that's now causing you some frustration. So,
okay. All right. Great.
Give that a shot.
And as a couple other people have said, when you're on hold,
we got no audio.
Right. But there's a static, and the static kind of sounds like a cat that only has two teeth.
Okay.
Chewing on a pickle.
Well, we appreciate the feedback. We will get that resolved. And hey, thanks, and have a great weekend.
You guys have a Merry Christmas.
You too. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
I wouldn't know what that sounds like, to be honest with you.
I don't know, but we're going to get the problem solved. But we appreciate all the feedback, all the info. If you stick around, we're going to come right back and kind of wrap things up. It's the Computer Corner. Stick around. Welcome back. It's the final segment here on the Computer Corner. Again, if you missed any part of the show, where do they go, Kyle?
Podcasts.
Where do they find the podcasts?
On iTunes or on our website.
So we made
datadoctors.com/media/radio.
You can skip the slash media. It'll cheat for you if you want.
datadoctors.com/radio.
See, that's the easy way.
Or you can hit the button if you don't like slashes.
I was looking for like one easy way, and we got 10. So, you know what?
There are lots of easy ways, though. We've made it so easy.
And while you're there, you'll see links for past shows, current shows. We'll have this thing, assuming it all recorded properly, which if it didn't, we'll go track it down. Somewhere it'll
just
be captured.
We can do it over again.
Sure.
Stage it.
Exactly the way that it was before.
Clay, you can't reproduce this kind of
quality.
Awesomeness.
Check out our videos on Facebook.
Oh yeah, Clay took some video of the new digs here. In case you're just joining us, we're broadcasting out of the new studios, the new and improved awesomeness that is KTAR. And if you want to see what that looks like in all of its video glory, thanks to Clay, we have those videos and they're uploaded for you to see it
in 720p. P,
which means HD for those of you.
I just had to say P again.
Yeah, whatever. Facebook.com/datadoctors. They're up on the Facebook fan page, so you can check that stuff out and
comment on it, like it,
whatever.
Share it.
Whatever you want to do with it, it's all there. Tear it up. So
we got
one last guy.
Okay. Let's do it.
And I promised we'd get to him, and so I can't leave him hanging there. Up the final caller here on the inaugural new building, let's break this place in Computer Corner Radio Show. It's Dave who has Well, Dave has a kind of problem that I don't even know what it is, to be honest, because I only have two words here. So, Dave, why don't you tell us what's going on?
Yeah, I was listening to your program last week or a week and a half ago or so. You're talking about the configuration on the startup. You should only have a certain number of items in the startup menu or whatever. Now, I'm familiar with the run command, run MS config, and go to the startup tab and all to see what all programs are in there.
Yep, that's designed to do two things. One, show you all the stuff that's starting up automatically. Two, to do some quick diagnostics to figure out if something's causing a problem, what's the culprit? But a lot of people think that that's where it ends, and so they've figured out the culprit, they uncheck the box, and off goes life. Everything's cool, right? Wrong. That's the diagnostic part. Now the fix still needs to be done, and so it'll seem like it's sort of fixed, and all you've done is sort of bypass the problem, but it's still hanging out there under the hood. And so then the fix is where things get more complicated. It depends on what it was, where it lives. And you got to know where it lives to be able to go sort of root that thing out, like big bad Osama bin Laden, right? If we know where he's at, then we can solve that problem. But until then, we got to figure that out. So you've been playing around in your MS config. You got a bunch of stuff, and now my guess is you're trying to figure out how do I get rid of that stuff?
Well, I'm trying to figure out how you tell what those things are for. I mean, the file items listed are, you know, I mean, I've got like 75 to it's between 75 to 100 programs in there.
Wowie.
But, I mean, I have no idea. I'm computer literate to some extent, but I'm not a technical geek or anything.
Right. So there's two choices on how this problem gets solved, Dave. One is you employ the help of a friend or a professional that can help you decode what all that stuff is. Or if you got a lot of time and a lot of patience, you can take each one of those things you find in there, type the program name exactly as you see it into Google, do a little bit of research to find out what it is, then make a determination of, yes, I want this thing to stay, or no, I want it to go, and then do a little bit more research to figure out how to make that particular thing stay or go. The stay is easy. You don't do anything. You're done. The go is, yeah, get rid of it. Then that takes more research. And so that can be a process that, depending on your comfort, your speed, can take hours, can take days. It could take minutes for somebody who's done this all the time. Tell you what, Dave, we're going to give you, actually, I won't be able to give you one-on-one help because I don't know how to do that around here. So thanks for the call. If we didn't get your problem answered, feel free to call one of our locations for the rest of you. datadoctors.com/radio. That's where you find us in all the times in between. Again, if you missed any part of the show, you can catch up there. Until next time, if you don't need it, don't install it.